right, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Digital Business with Josh and Tyrone. Today, we are going to talk about something super duper important. How large mergers affect small businesses and what resources you need to help you compete. I know that's usually on my mind. Hopefully, it's on yours. So as we push forward, we're going to find out some solutions and some answers for you so we can find out how we can all get wealthy together. So, Mr. Perryman.
Yo.
Top five. It's a lot of things going on in the world. But this is just our list compiled. You might have something different as an audience. But we're going to talk about our top five things in relation to business that took place this week. Start with number five, tariffs. Hopefully we all know what tariffs are, essentially taxes on goods. So our government has kind of been, I'm not going to say at war, but we have actually been looking at multiple things from a lot of different countries who we do business with, significant business with. So you take Canada, for instance. You look at Mexico, which has been ongoing, and not to mention a lot of our partners in Asia. So number four is tariffs again. So that's just how important tariffs are, because taxes are goods on our goods are going to be passed on to consumers, and consumers affect how businesses grow. And typically smaller businesses with less capital have a higher mountain to climb than our larger businesses. So we just want you to think about those two things as far as our top five beginning. Number three, something big, AT&T, Time Warner merger. If you recall, three shows ago, we had spoke about how government affects business and how businesses work with government to overcome different things. AT&T and Time Warner merger were at battle with the Supreme Court for a period of time. So that merger has went through. Now we're going to see how that decision will affect other large mergers that are going to take place. And again, you have to think as an emerging business, small company, how will that affect you going forward? Number two, net neutrality. Now, this is more so Mr. Perryman's field.
Yeah.
Now, in my reading on it, and I'll let you please chime in, but it's in effect. However, it's not in effect yet. So it's on the books where it's going to start taking place, but they say companies haven't acted on it. What do you think will be the impact on small businesses?
For net neutrality?
Yes, sir.
Well, there's an impact for not only small businesses, but just for the individual consumer on a basic level. As far as net neutrality, just to explain exactly what it is, it's pretty much the government being able to... Obama put the rule in place with net neutrality so that the government can control how internet service providers, aka ISPs, can control what you watch or what websites you go to. Mm-hmm. And everybody can access any website they want equally on an equal playing field, and they don't slow down your signal, so to speak, so that it slows down your rate of watching. Okay. So you can't watch it as effectively. Or they can, so with net neutrality, for example, if you're a Netflix fan and you want to be able to watch all the shows that you want, your internet service provider can't basically slow your connection down and pub Hulu, basically. So they're saying that you can't go to, if you want to use our service, you have to use Netflix. But if you love Hulu, it's going to be a slow signal. That's basically what the government didn't want internet service providers to do. Now that that's cut down, internet service providers can team up. Say, for example, Comcast can team up with Netflix and they say, hey, we're together. Anybody that's watching Hulu, we're going to slow their connection. But Netflix, we're going to have a great connection. And AT&T might be partnered with Hulu. So you're going to end up wanting service with one of your favorite providers. So they could just team up in that aspect, which on the... It's fair for them business-wise. It makes sense. I mean, I can't knock them for that, but for people that are on the outside looking in, it's like, man, there's only Comcast in my area. I love Netflix.
Right.
I don't like Hulu, but or vice versa, but I have to go. I have to watch, you know, maybe the another service now, even though I don't like it. So that's what they basically make you do. For a business standpoint, it's a huge thing with websites because they can literally just slow your connection down for specific websites or specific apps. Slow it down and try to get you and promote you to use another one.
Okay. Let me throw this monkey wrench in here. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's good for business, but also that cost is going to be passed on to the little guy or the consumer.
Exactly.
So as a consumer, where do I begin to compete with my services that I want to use? You know, like you said, I may be in a rural area, or I may be in a smaller urban area, smaller city, where it is just one cable line company. And then thinking about those things, all these large mergers taking place. So is the competition going to be that fierce where it's going to help out the consumer, or at the end of the day, will the consumer still be the one on the short end of the stick?
Consumer will be at the short end because now the business has control in what they get to do and how they get to charge you in a various amount of ways, whereas before the government controlled how that can happen. They made it a neutral playing field. So it was only so much they can do. Now they can do anything, pretty much. You know, it may cost to do something on the internet more than it would, than it should. And that's the unfortunate part. But it is what it is. It was inevitable. It makes business sense for them.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, we're going to close out. The top item on the list is North Korea and the USA meeting. So we're going to understand how that business is going to affect. And then as we come back from break, we're also going to talk about tariffs and product costs and what does it mean to you. So stay tuned to Digital Business. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of going into your closet and not being able to find anything to wear? In need of a wardrobe stylist, designer, or fashion consultant? Then contact stylist Leo Rochelle of The Style Den to get you right from head to toe, from your closet to the runway, and even for your everyday look. For more information, call 219-487-7324. The Style Den by stylist Leo Rochelle.
All right, good people, welcome back to Digital Business with Josh and Tyrone. When we left, we were speaking on our top five topics of the week. We talked about tariffs at 5 and 4, AT&T, Time Warner merger at number 3, spoke at length about net neutrality and how it will affect you as a consumer and as a small business, and the number one topic was North Korea and the USA meeting. So segmenting away from net neutrality, let's talk about the tariff portion of it. Now, we talked about how net neutrality will affect the consumer and how it's going to affect emerging businesses. Tariffs, taxes, are added on to product costs. What does that mean for you as a business, and what does that mean from a tech aspect? So we'll start with the tech side, and then I'll give my take on the business portion of it from a brick and mortar cost as far as distribution and items on sale. So from a digital standpoint, what do you believe, or how do you feel tariffs will have an effect on small businesses, emerging companies and as the consumers?
I think if you're a smaller business in a field of, you know, maybe building products, like actual tangible products, technology-wise, maybe you're building a watch of some sort, or, you know, you could be a startup actually building different type of products. Mm-hmm. For them, a lot of this stuff you outsource, obviously, overseas. You have it built over there, you know, cheaply. Mm-hmm. Not cheaply, but cheaper than you would in the U.S., obviously. Yeah. But those prices for doing that are already high in importing those products here and then paying for how they're shipped, different packaging. And now you add, you know, tariffs on top of that. You have to obviously now incorporate those costs of tariffs in the price of your product, because mm-hmm. there are already so many different ways of getting your product here, and taxes and different ways of, you know, different income for other people and transportation. So all of those costs end up getting boiled down to your total cost. And, you know, I have friends that work in industries to where they work with overseas clients mm-hmm. and they want different type of products, but it's always that cost of getting it here. On a product level, as far as outside of technology, it's cheaper because it's packaged differently. So for emerging businesses that maybe have not a technology type of product, but it could be a handbag or something. Mm-hmm. Then you want to get your MOQ right, obviously, but it's going to be cheaper. And it's all about, you know, how you're going to price your product now, adding those tariffs in. Everybody's trying to get their money.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's what it comes down to.
And that's what business is, that's you know, at the end of the day. I think as a businessman, where I get torn at and the things I look at, had a tax law that passed, you know, some people say it's good. Most business people are like, great, good, helps us out. Then a lot of people say, I don't know. I don't see it happening. I'm getting an extra $30-$40, you know, a check. Now that sounds good, but then you look at tariffs being added. You look at the price of oil going up per barrel. If you look at gas stations, consumer goods are rising. So, you know, oftentimes when you look at it, you have to look at the totality of it. We got a good tax break for businesses. However, we're kind of cutting our own foot off, per se, because on the backside of it, we're doing bad things with our allies, per se, companies that we do a lot of business with, or countries, excuse me, that we do a lot of business with. So that cost on the tax side that we thought we were saving, it's getting passed on to the backside. So the consumer is getting hit on both ends. And as small businesses, I think that's what we have to look at. How can we handle that portion of it and, again, compete with larger businesses? Because at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. I know myself as a small business owner. One thing I look at is, what am I doing better in my own field of expertise? But also, what am I doing better or improving on to compete with the big guys? And I think as a emerging company, that is always the case, that should be the case each day. What am I doing to make money? What am I doing to compete? And what am I doing to get better? Those are three questions I always ask myself. And looking at these items, you know, tariffs and product costs that's being passed on, you have to look at that from your own operation standpoint. And then locally, because you look at distribution, you know, prices go up on oil, gas goes up. Eventually, the cost is going to get passed on. And then, yep. You know, if you're dealing with a lot of plastic, there's oil going up, petroleum's going up. That's what, you know, those things are used. So it's an effect down the line. But, you know, is that something that we can weather, you know, as a business, as a capitalistic country? Or is that something that is going to eventually deplete small businesses and looking at what's closing down the line? So I think on both sides of the pillow, you have to look at from a digital standpoint, how far out am I looking in relation to being competitive 6 months from now, 12 months from now, and is cost going to go up? What do I have in my bank and my threshold as far as working capital to compete with? So I think at the end of the day, with all that being said, I think it means for smaller businesses to continue to compete but also has some forethought on what's coming down the line, you know, and not necessarily from a political standpoint, but from a business standpoint. You know, larger companies can work with the stock market. It's going to help them, you know, more often than not. Small companies, you know, I don't have an IPO. My company doesn't have an IPO yet. Yeah. You know, hopefully I'll get there. But right now it's like, okay, what are we doing to compete with it? It's happening with IQ to grow. And I'm sure India is the same way. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But so, I mean, it's par for the course. The rich eat on the poor. So it is what it is. You just have to learn how to manage that. So, I mean, every so often years, I mean, in a few years, there's going to be some more laws and ways for somebody else to eat up in your revenue. It's just going to happen. So then you have to think, you have to get smarter on your end. Yeah. Figure out, okay, I have to charge this much more. Or maybe you don't want to charge your consumer more, your customer more, and maybe you have to improve something within what you're doing already to decrease your, you know, your costs in either making or whatever it is that you're doing, but decreasing your overall cost to give the customer the same price. It's hard, though. Yeah. So that's why you have everybody charging more money because they're being charged more. It's like, man, why are these prices going up? They're always hiking up the prices. Yeah. But with the, you know, the Beer Institute is, you know, projecting, you know, 10% aluminum tariffs, which will be an additional, you know, $347 million. So obviously they're not going to just take that cost. That's a lot of money. They're going to dish that right back down to the consumer. So they're going to have to pay for it. But hey, it is what it is. I mean, what do you do? Business isn't for everybody. So you either figure it out or you don't. But at the end of the day, you may be on the other end anyways, paying those extra prices.
Right. Well, let me throw this at you. Something just came to my mind. We talked about AT&T and Time Warner merging. There's another big company looking to see how the Supreme Court decision is going to affect them. What do you think, or how do you feel about small businesses merging together?
Big businesses do it. Yeah. Smaller businesses should do it too, because there's models that you can still emulate that the large businesses do because it works. If you have two products, like if you're investing in a company, you may invest in something that's similar to what you already do, so you could couple those two businesses together. And they complement each other. So it's like a partnership. But hey, if you merge as a business, I may be a development company, you could be a product company. Hey, we can do all the coding, and you could build the maybe robotic aspects. Right. We could couple that together and build one product. So it's just teamwork.
Yeah, I just think that's something that smaller companies should begin to look at and definitely prepare for, because that's coming down the line.
Yeah.
All right. So, segment two, we're wrapping up. So stay with us. We're going to come back with segment three. We're going to talk more about challenges to expect from emerging businesses and what resources to look for that will help you compete. So stick with Digital Business, Josh and Tyrone. We'll be right back.
The Boss's Daughter is a debut novel published in November of 2017. The fictional story is about the daughter of a mob boss. Her father wants her dead. She runs away to save herself and ends up falling in love with the FBI agent who's after her father. In the world of organized crime, family is everything. Make sure you go check out this suspenseful thriller written by Jennifer Bates, The Boss's Daughter. Available on Amazon, Kindle, and Kindle Unlimited.
Back to Digital Business. We were talking on tariffs and product cost and how that will affect emerging businesses in our last segment. This segment, we want to empower you about the resources to look out for that can help you and what resources are available. I know as a small businesses, particularly when I first started. One asset that I don't think a lot of people use enough of is SBA, Small Business Administration. I think they have a lot of resources that most people might not tap into or may not be aware of. You know, they have a lot of different classes in relation to building your business, looking at aspects to help you grow your business, and trainings, per se. I think we should always be learning. Everything's always changing. So if you stay in the same spot, again, we talk about this all the time, you'll be like Montgomery Ward. Nobody's going to know about you anymore. So I think that's one asset. Another resource are the people around you who are in business. Too often, we don't utilize our stories to help each other out. Again, that's just my opinion. But if we work together, you know, there's enough out there for everybody. You know, it's enough out there for everybody, in particular minority communities. You look in Indianapolis on the west side, the development that's taken place in the, the name of it, area of 38th Street, but it's like the multicultural area, but they actually have a name for it. So it's the corridor, but it's, I'm drawing a blank right now. However, those buildings over there, people have started small businesses and they've taken over businesses that were shut down. For an example, a Menards was over there at one point in time. They closed, went out, so I don't know if Home Depot was just kicking their tail that bad. It's like, you know what? We got to get out of here, because they was right down the street from them. But right now, someone went in, bought it, cleaned it up as a warehouse, and they're shipping stuff out of there every day. You know, so I think it's a vision. It's the ability to, you know, pull your resources together and understand the needs of a community. And that's what small businesses do. What's the need of the community? Are you able to serve them? Are you willing to serve them? And what resources are you using to serve them? So from that standpoint, from the digital side, what do you see as resources for businesses during this climate right now, small business during this climate, to help them out, to get them to the next level?
On a technical perspective, what you have to leverage, and everybody knows it, is, do you have a website face? You know, do you have your social media accounts? The biggest thing that many people that I come across, or anybody that I work with, and this is really important. However, a lot of people don't even realize it, and that's just simple ways of, okay, you communicate through email. Many people that I come across or work with, it's all over the place. Maybe they have their business name at gmail.com or at yahoo.com, and they're using that, you know, on their business cards. You know, it could be Mo and Joe's Crab Shack. Get in touch with us at moandjoescrabshack@gmail.com. But the importance of having a domain email address, it makes sure that it tells people that that's actually you. They're communicating with you, so it'll be possibly, you know, josh@moescrabshack.com, you know, or .net in some circumstances. More likely it's .com. In America, at least. So a domain email address that goes right with your website. So mojoescrabshack.com, that's their website. Anytime you see emails come from them, you know that you're communicating with them, just as if you were to speak with, you know, Verizon. You're emailing them back and forth for their tech support. It's at verizon.com. So it's like a address. It's like a home address. People know that that's you. That's really important, because you're seen as professional now. Yeah. Because you have an actual domain. You're not a Gmail, a Yahoo. It's like, oh, they don't really do that business, do they? It's Yahoo. But that's really important. Just a simple domain. They don't cost a lot, but that's like required. That's a necessity, along with the website, along with your social media accounts. So that's what I think is really important, because that's the one thing that I come across the most that people don't have.
So this is essentially, it's an investment in yourself. So what levels of investment in your business and yourself that you're looking to do from a technological standpoint? I know for me, tech isn't my game. You know well enough, tech isn't my side. However, I knew it was something I had to learn. I knew something I had to get better at. Is it still an opportunity for me? Absolutely. But the thing about that is, us as business men and women, we have to learn where we're good at, where we're great at, and what our challenges are. I think overcoming those challenges will help your business grow and save us all from a lot of bumps and bruises that we're going to hit anyway. Yeah. As an entrepreneur, you're just going to hit them. It's going to happen, and we just have to prepare for them. But on that side, I think we have to look at what tops our list of priorities and what are you investing in. I know, watch Shark Tank. One thing people always say, oh, you're really investing in your business. You know, do you have a second job and stuff like that? You know, yay, nay. I don't think everybody can just stop and, you know, I'm doing this on my own. You know, people have families,
right.
You know. You can gradually get into it and invest. But at the end of the day, you have to look at what's best for you, what's best for your business, what's best for your family, and how are you going to take your company to the next level.
Yeah, certainly investment in yourself. You have to believe in yourself. You may not be able to go full time, but whatever time you put in, you have to make sure you're as efficient as possible. And I'm all about completing tasks. It doesn't matter if I spend 8 hours on maybe some coding.
Right.
I mean, I can spend 8 hours and it's like, I just can't figure something out. It's just, yeah. Or it's just not right. But it's hard for me to go to sleep knowing that I did not complete the task that I have for myself. So, but that's how my progression is measured, or how I measure my own progression, is the completion of tasks, not just how long I spent on something. That means absolutely nothing. I can spend 3 days on something. And yeah. There's times I spend 3 days on something and I have no progress, but it doesn't sit well with me. And, you know, my wife may be like, you've been doing that for a long time. But I'm like, I'm not finished. it's not complete. This isn't complete. I know I've spent a lot of time trying to reach this goal of mine, but it's about completion. So completing those tasks, and then those are those small wins that you get going forward. Like, okay, great. I feel great now. I've worked very hard to figure this problem out. I've solved it. Now I can move on to the next one all over again.
That's ironic you say that. I know oftentimes, I know when I was in management and as a director, I always looked at what the outcome was and what was the process to get to that outcome. I looked at time, but my thing was, some things don't take 8 hours, some things take a week.
Right.
You know, how are we using our time efficiently? And as an entrepreneur, that is the number one thing, because everybody's time is a priority. Mm-hmm. But as an entrepreneur, and especially if you're a solopreneur, meaning you're in business by yourself, you don't have anybody under you, your time is extra valuable. You know, it's still only 24 hours in a day unless you move into another planet.
Yeah.
You know, and then coming back. And so we haven't made that technology yet.
Constant fight for
yes.
time.
Yes. So you have to look at how you're managing your time and what projects are noble projects to make your business go to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we talked about a lot today, my man. We talked about our top five. We talked about tariffs. We talked about emerging businesses. And we talked about how and what resources we will do to help those companies go forward. So hopefully this helped you out this week. Stick with us next week. Play this podcast again. Coming next week, we'll be at it again. This is Josh and Tyrone, Digital Business. Take care. Have a great week. Come back next week, and let's get wealthy together.